Yeah, so psychological safety is a key driver of inclusion, which is the belief that you're not going to be punished or humiliated by speaking up with your questions, concerns, ideas, or mistakes. And ultimately, it all happens on the team level, which means that every individual on the team has the ability to contribute to psychological safety.
Welcome to Authentic Energy, a podcast dedicated to getting to the bottom of what it means to be your true, authentic self at work. I am your host, Wendy Brand. Let's take this learning journey together as I meet with guests weekly. Whether you are a leader or individual contributor, a teacher or a nurse, we'll share conversations and stories that highlight meaningful connections, self-awareness, a sense of belonging, and all the components necessary to create a workplace where you can show up in your authentic energy. Welcome back to Authentic Energy. I am your host, Wendy Brand. Last week, I shared the details of the Thrive Culture Framework that I use to work with nonprofits and small business CEOs to build a culture where their employees can thrive. This week, we're focused on the I in Thrive, inspiring inclusivity and connection. The benefits of building a culture that is rooted in diversity, equity, inclusion, and belonging is tremendous. A culture where employees feel like they can be themselves and not be judged if they are different or unique. There is so much that can be discussed under the DEIB umbrella. Larger organizations may focus on implementing employee resource groups to create a sense of belonging, and smaller organizations may just monitor their recruiting and hiring processes to ensure that they are continuing to hire diverse talent across the staff, the leadership team, and their board. One of the projects that I worked on recently with a client was reviewing the language in their job descriptions to ensure that they were not using gender-coded words, meaning they weren't overly feminine or overly masculine, but appealing to both, and not just language that was inviting to all genders, but also races, religions, abilities, and sexual orientation. There's a lot we can do in organizations and simply as humans to remove judgment and start having conversations leading with humility and curiosity. So my guest today is an author, podcast host, and CEO dedicated to shining a light on DEI through various mediums. Bernadette Smith is founder and CEO of the Equality Institute and an award-winning author of four books, including her latest, the bestseller, Inclusive 360, Proven Solutions for an Equitable Organization. Bernadette's insight has been trusted by major brands, including Fortune 500 companies and global leadership teams. Because of her impact as a change agent for inclusion, she has been featured in the New York Times, Forbes, CNN, and the Today Show. Bernadette's also been named one of Chicago's notable LGBTQ executives by Crain's Chicago Business. When she's not busy speaking, you're likely to find her on a local pickleball court. I hope you enjoy our conversation. Bernadette, welcome to the Authentic Energy Podcast. It is so great to have you.
I'm delighted to be here. Thank you so much, Wendy. It's great to be here.
Well, let's dig right in. You have an organization called the Equality Institute, which is a boutique diversity, equity, and inclusion firm. Tell us a little bit about the organization and the work you do.
Yeah, so I'm a keynote speaker and writer, and I've been building this little DEI firm over the past 5 years or so. And, you know, we really believe in a holistic approach to this work in thinking about diversity, equity, and inclusion across all of the functions and certainly beyond just training. And that's sort of the framework of our consulting model, which is called Inclusive 360. That was also the name of my book. And so we bring that lens into everything that we do. And we know that successful DEI really does require both a training and a change management sort of cross-functional lens to this. And so that's what we really love to do. But my favorite thing to do is speak. And so I do a lot of keynote speaking. I speak about allyship and inclusive leadership and this holistic approach to DEI. That's really the core of our company.
Wonderful. And you also have a podcast, correct?
Yeah, so that's my thing. My whole deal here is that I like to bring good vibes to DEI because what I think is that there's a lot of negativity out there. There's so much negative data. There's so many headlines that just could cause someone to be have a lot of despair. And honestly, I read the news. I have a lot of things that I subscribe to, and what I find is there are also a lot of things going right. So I have a weekly newsletter called Five Things, bringing good vibes to DEI. And in that newsletter, I share ideas of what's going right. So whether it's policies or new programs that companies are doing, or maybe it's a new policy that was passed somewhere in the world or here in the US, but things that are going right. And I celebrate those stories not only in the newsletter, but also in a weekly podcast with a guest. So it's Five Things in 15 Minutes, bringing good vibes to DEI. It's a really short show and it's really high energy, and it's a great way to start the work week.
I love that. We could all use more positive in our life. And so I love it. And I'll definitely, you know, in the show notes, I'll include all the ways to get to you after we're done. But, you know, one of the things that Authentic Energy, the podcast, is really dedicated to helping us figure out how organizations create an environment for individuals to show up as their true selves. So, you know, part of that is really that having that sense of belonging in an organization and not feeling excluded for any reason, right? And so, how do you tell us a little bit about how you work with organizations, or when you're speaking to organizations on how do you create that environment?
Yeah, I think that belonging is this very sort of aspirational state. I think that it's sort of like the pinnacle. I mean, who wouldn't want to belong, right? I mean, it sounds amazing, especially at work. But, that is like very aspirational, and we get there with equity and inclusion. And so we really have to go through lots of other things to start to create a culture where people feel like they can belong. And one of the barriers to that, I think right now, is that we've gotten ourselves as a society into this place where, because of cancel culture, people are so afraid of saying the wrong thing. They're afraid of accidentally offending someone. And I think that we're very much siloed. I think that we are spending a lot of time with people who are like us because we are afraid of getting it wrong. And I think that, ultimately inclusion requires intention. And if in the workplace we're sort of, again, sort of siloed around people who are like us and not truly getting to know the folks on our team and beyond a surface level, if we're not really being proactive about those relationships, then we're not going to get the best results, right? And so I think that to create this culture where everyone feels like they can belong, we need to be much more intentional about it. And what I have found is that we're just going around making assumptions about others, and the antidote is gentle curiosity. So in my keynotes, I talk about something called the ARC method, which stands for Ask, Respect, Connect. And it's a way to connect across differences. It's a way to create a more inclusive culture because we have this sense of curiosity about others. It's not rocket science. But I teach folks to follow the ARC, the ARC, because that's really how we can bridge differences and start to create a culture where people feel like they can be a little bit more of their true authentic selves.
And so I fall into that category of, I mean, admittedly feeling afraid to talk about, you know, ask people. Like, I would never ask someone about their race or ethnicity, or, you know, I don't know how to talk about those things. And so I know I'm not the only one. And I know that, especially in a work environment, I mean, we're taught to push down emotions. We're taught to show up as this kind of, it's always to me in hindsight felt like a facade of like, here's who I'm supposed to be at work, I'm supposed to talk about these things, don't talk about these things. And so, how any kind of guidance or words of wisdom on how you broach those topics, especially in a workplace?
Yeah, I think that it really requires humility and a willingness to admit what you don't know, right? And I think it's absolutely okay to say, hey, forgive me, I'm still learning. And if I get something wrong, please forgive me. But can you tell me a little bit more about your experience with blank? And by the way, this ARC method, this whole topic is so much beyond race and ethnicity, right? Because diversity means everyone. And I teach this, in this hybrid world, people are struggling, right? And now we're seeing that hybrid employees aren't eligible, or remote employees aren't eligible for promotions in a lot of companies. Like, it's kind of messed up. But and there is, there are a lot more ways that people are struggling. And so we can use the ARC method for any of them, to bring this sense of gentle curiosity. But what I think that we need to remember is that starting with humility breaks the ice. And so that might mean that we share some of our own experience first. So I recommend that people start a conversation by saying, if they're trying to have this kind of more intense conversation or a more deeper getting to know you conversation, that they start by saying something like, when I first started at the working at the company, it was I felt blank. Or this tell a story about a time they felt like an outsider, or a time that they really had a hard time maintaining work-life balance for whatever reason, or about a mistake that they made, right? And I think that when we have this tiny moment of vulnerability, and we don't have to get into the messy details, but when we sort of share this little bit, it gives other people permission to do the same. And so it creates more of a genuine connection.
I like that. And something that a colleague of mine has said that's really stuck with me is that judgment kills curiosity. And so if you, in order to have those curious conversations, you really have to come with an open mind and put judgment aside, in order to show that vulnerability and to let the other person feel heard probably as well.
Yeah, absolutely. In one of my keynotes, I start by talking about assumptions, and assumptions are essentially a form of judgment, right? And so that's the whole thesis, is that we all go around making assumptions about other people. But the antidote, of course, is to ask better questions. And hey, here's the ARC method to help you ask better questions. I mean, that's the description of the keynote in like 10 seconds, but essentially that's the gist. So same theme.
And you actually, you have a book you've written, Inclusive 360. So tell me about that.
Yeah, so Inclusive 360 is I love my book, I have to say, first of all. It's been out now for 2.5 years, and I will be writing a new edition of it, but it is a great book. It's great because it is action-packed. It is a very solutions-oriented book. So for folks who are really serious about doing the work around DEI, the book has a million ideas in it. Like, it's just, it gives you so many ways to get started across functions. So whether you're in HR, whether you're in marketing, whether you're in product development, whether you're in procurement, event planning, whether you're a manager or a leader, there's something for everyone in the book, part of an employee resource group. I mean, there's just a lot of ways that people can engage in DEI work, regardless of what their function is at work. And so I wrote the book to remove the excuse of not doing the work, because people tend to get in their heads about DEI. They're like, I don't even know where to begin. It's very overwhelming. Well, this book is so full of solutions that there are no reasons not to do it.
I love that. It is on my list, and I'm sorry that I haven't read it before
All
this
right.
interview, but it is on my list. I shared with you before we recorded that I have a framework that I'm working with my clients, the Thrive culture, and the I in Thrive is inspiring inclusivity and connection. And really, that is meant to
to help organizations as I'm consulting with them, helping them come up with ways that they can create that sense of belonging and community in their organization so that employees do feel like they can show up authentically. And yeah. So I'm really eager to grab your book and find some of those things to put into action and share it with clients. That's exciting.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah. You know, I love that I get to do this work. It feels like a gift. And I especially love that I get to speak about this stuff and to give folks tools to just have more genuine connections, tools to actually make progress towards DEI goals. Because it's none of this stuff is rocket science. It's not. And everyone has a role to play in it. Every single person, whether you're a leader or not. And I think people overthink it.
Yeah, no, I agree. And there's a fear there, right? It's yeah. The unknown. And I think one of the things that we worry about is in organizations especially is the backlash. So what if, do we take a stance? Do we not take a stance? But I know I've heard you say that it's not just about the training, right? You don't have to jump right in, and there's other things that you can be doing instead of just more of the traditional diversity training.
Yeah. I mean, I think ultimately if this is going to be sustainable, then DEI needs to be a lens that's applied to every function. And that means it's part of everyone's job. And it should be something that's kind of becomes embedded in and operationalized so that it's the default. It's just mm-hmm. the default way of looking at things. And ultimately, there's no running away from this, because looking at the demographics, at least here in the U.S., the census tells us that almost 50% of Gen Z are people of color. Over 20% are LGBTQ+, according to Pew Research. 15% of us are all neurodiverse, according to the CDC. I mean, the diversity part is here. And so it's just a matter of organizations getting it together so that they can actually see the innovation, see the revenue and the profitability and all of these promises we hear about the benefits of diversity. Well, how do we actually get to that? We get to that with equity and inclusion. We get to that with this cross-functional approach where we're leveraging the power of that diversity. But if there are gaps, well, there are gaps. Every company has gaps of equity and inclusion. And we're looking to really close those gaps.
Where would you recommend, like if you were going to, an organization was going to start working on this tomorrow, where would you say that they start?
Well, I think the first thing that an organization who's very new to this should do is to level set, like, where are they? What are these gaps in their various functions on equity and inclusion? How do their employees feel about, do they feel a sense of belonging? Do they feel a sense of belonging on their team? You know, so it's one thing to feel it at the company. What about the team? What about the manager, right? And so we're looking at data to really identify what are the opportunities. And then it's just a matter of problem solving. You know, we have, there are all kinds of solutions, but we can't figure out what they are until we identify the problems.
Yeah. Awesome. And one of the benefits, you know, in addition to just creating a place where employees can show up as themselves, that diversity of thought, when you allow everyone's voices to be heard, I think that can even, it's just so nourishing and enriching for the organization. I mean, you'd hope that an organization thinks about the human side of it, but mm-hmm. if not, there is the business benefit of really having some innovation and creativity by allowing voices to be heard.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But we really need to set folks up for success.
Yes.
You know, and a lot of that also comes with manager training. What I think would be really a great place to be would be that all training for new managers has a DEI lens. Mm-hmm. I mean, most, medium-sized companies must have, and most of them have some sort of new manager training, right?
Yes.
And of course, leadership development training. Those should have a DEI lens because folks need to know how to manage neurodiverse talent. They need to know how to special considerations for LGBTQ plus talent. They need to know a little bit of cultural competency.
Another thing, that I hear this all the time is psychological safety, creating psychological safety. So how does that, when we talk about that with DEI, what does that look like?
Yes, so psychological safety is a key driver of inclusion. And so Google did a huge study and they found that 180 of their internal teams, the top performing teams, had a high degree of psychological safety, which is the belief that you're not going to be punished or humiliated by speaking up with your questions, concerns, ideas, or mistakes. And ultimately, it all happens on the team level. Which means that every individual on the team has the ability to contribute to psychological safety. And what we found is that when people feel like they can bring more of themselves to work, I'm not going to say their full selves, but when they can bring more of themselves to work, they're not only going to open up about who they are, but they're also going to be more open about their ideas, about their concerns, their questions, and their mistakes. So when we are creating this openness more broadly, it sort of fuels a more authentic team, and it's contagious. So so everyone has a role to play in it. It just starts with one, really, and then it starts to get a little bit more contagious.
And I think, the leader's role in that is just so critical to really, again, create that space where that psychological safety is felt.
Yeah, and I think that requires a little bit of vulnerability and humility, like I was talking about earlier. If the leader starts by talking about their concerns, about their mistakes, about what they don't know, then everyone else is going to start to see, okay, it's all right to talk about this stuff.
Well, I am so appreciative of what you're doing, speaking and working with organizations, and really appreciate you coming on the Authentic Energy Show to talk about it with my guests, with my listeners. So thank you so much. And so how can we find you? I want to put information in the show notes.
Yeah, thank you, Wendy. It's been great being a guest. Folks can find me at BernadetteSmith.com. And if they want to subscribe to the newsletter, the Five Things newsletter, Good Vibes and DEI, they can subscribe at FiveThingsDEI.com. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you, Bernadette. All right, here are my takeaways. Number one, successful DEI requires training and change management with a cross-functional lens. Number two, cancel culture has made us afraid of getting it wrong. And so we often go around making assumptions about others, but the ARC method, Ask, Respect, Connect, was created to bring people together and allow them to bridge differences. Number three, it takes humility and an ability to admit when you don't know, but starting with humility can be the icebreaker. Number four, inclusivity is not rocket science, and we all have a role to play in it. Number five, if you're an organization that is new to this, start by assessing where you and your teams currently are in the journey. Use culture surveys and other data to determine how inclusive your environment is and the solutions that may be needed. Number six, psychological safety is a driver for inclusivity and creates high-performing teams. Psychological safety is the belief that you will not be humiliated or punished by speaking up with your questions, concerns, ideas, or mistakes. Number seven, psychological safety happens on the team level. Every team member has the ability to contribute to psychological safety at work. Number eight, the leader's role requires humility and vulnerability to get the conversation started.
That's it. You can find Bernadette on her website at bernadettesmith.com or subscribe to her weekly Five Things newsletter by going to fivethingsdei.com. I'll put it all in the show notes. Thank you so much for listening. As a reminder, if you enjoyed this show and know someone else that may benefit from hearing it, please share it. And if you liked it, please go to the podcast platform where you listen and rate the show. My goal is to grow this podcast in 2024 so that anyone interested in building a culture where employees can show up in their authenticity will have the tools to do so. And don't forget, I've added an extra episode on Tuesdays to talk about authentic energy for the individual. I hope you'll join us.